The End of Fear is Where We Begin by Technosage. Read by Juice817. Sometimes Jensen looks back at the interviews he gave when he first started in the business and cringes. Favorite song? Freebird by Lynyrd Skynyrd. Most treasured possession? Pink stuffed pig. Last thing he does before bed? Say his prayers. Christ, how fucking naive and cute. It kind of reminds him of Jared. Which isn't really surprising, since everything reminds him of Jared these days. That's sort of a problem, though, everything reminding him of Jared. For one thing, he's pretty sure the guy's straight. For another, it goes against just about every rule he's created for himself since the first time. "Bet you look good on your knees, pretty boy." Blinding whites flashing in a sneering smile. The smell of sweat, hash, and leather on the hands that shoved him down. The bitter taste of cum swallowed to keep his job. Yeah, the less said about that, the better. It was the hardest fucking thing he's ever done, learning to shut himself down, to stop looking so goddamn sweet and desperate. But he did it. He's not there anymore. Now he earns his jobs, and keeps them, with his work on the set, and when he goes to his knees it's for someone with no connection to the business, preferably someone he'll never see again after he returns the favor. Just a mouth, a hand, a hard, thick cock. Not even a name if he can help it. Tommy and Mike, he thinks they're nuts to carry on the way they do. It's a good thing they're in Vancouver, where no one really gives a fuck, and not in L.A., where their disappearances from public events would wind up in Kristen's column for E! Online faster than Padalecki can say, "Want some?" about a bag of gummy worms. See, that right there? That's the problem. 6 feet 5 inches of human golden retriever, with the kindest eyes you ever saw, everyone's best friend, and absolutely zero sense of personal space. But no one cares, because no one in their right mind would turn down a hug from Jared. No one in their right mind would turn down the chance to be in Jared's presence. It's cliché as all fuck. But Jared's smile lights up a room, and just being around him makes the world seem a lot more like the place it used to be, before the first time. Sometimes Jensen just wants to shake him like a busted gumball machine until sense comes rattling down the chute of that wide-open mouth. It's always open. Jared's always talking, unless he's chewing. But it's only closed then because his mama would kick his ass if he talked with his mouth full. Other times he wants to loop his arms around that lean waist and let Jared envelop him in his sweet Texas sunshine and lazy summer drawl. Which is how he knows he's well and truly fucked over Jared, when he starts thinking of metaphors that start with bubblegum and end with Texas. But it'll be all right, Jensen tells himself. He has rules for this sort of thing. 1. Don't listen for what you want to hear. The Vancouver wind is chill, and leaves are swirling in it. He probably shouldn't be here, but it's the sort of afternoon that makes him think of couches, football, fireplaces, beer, and Jared. Not necessarily in that order, and not because it's ever this cold in Texas, but because Texas Tech is playing Texas, the Cowboys are playing the Giants, and both will be close games. Jared will be watching, and he will be watching, and there's really no reason that they shouldn't be watching together. So he's got beer in the truck in case Jared's out, and he's about to knock when he hears Jared talking. "I've been thinking about this for a while." His voice is earnest, more so than usual, and that one sentence sounds so meaningful that Jensen's feet root to the spot. He should leave, right fucking now. But if Jared has something going on, something important, Jensen should know about it, right? "Just shut up and listen." Jared answers whoever he's talking to, but it's more amused and exasperated than angry. The wind whips past, flipping up the edges of his navy peacoat, and Jensen realizes abruptly he's just rationalized eavesdropping on his best friend. He could leave and pretend he didn't hear anything, hadn't been here, or he could do the honest thing and... It's Jared. He raps on the door to let Jared know he's not alone, then opens it and sweeps in on another gust of oak leaves and damp wind off the ocean. There's no one there, no phone in Jared's hand, and Jensen's concern at having overheard something not intended for him becomes curiosity. His eyebrows lift in gentle mockery. "Gentle. Who are you talking to?" Jared's smile is easy and soft, and his voice even softer. "No one." Smirking to cover the lurch in his chest, Jensen jerks his chin toward the living room. "Think no one's up for some beer and football, Odysseus?" Like Jared's Sam, Jensen's read a few books. He knows he pulls shit like that out of his ass when he feels awkward, and half the time Jared doesn't get it at all. This is one of those times. Guess I ought to have listened to Mama when she said pay attention in school, huh? Jared drawls, voice thick and hickory smoked, eyebrow lifting over a wide smile. Come on in, Jen. No one's not looking for company, but it sounds good to me. Is there a slight emphasis on that good? With the way Jared's looking at him, all warm welcome and genuine pleasure burnishing hazel eyes to gold, it sure seems like it. Sure seems like his voice came out real soft when he first saw who was here, too. Soft and sexy. Like he's thinking what Jensen's thinking. But no. See, Jensen can't think like that. Can't try to figure out what Jared's not saying. He has to stick to what he is. Otherwise he'll end up listening for what he wants to hear. And that'll just cause problems. It's why it's against the rules. 2. Don't let your gaze linger too long. It's unseasonably warm, the last kiss of heat before winter settles in, and they're all at Tommy's, an impromptu barbecue to celebrate the Indian summer. Usually by this point in the year he's ready to stay in, read, watch football, but Jared teased him out, calling him an old homebody. The last thing he wants to seem to Jared is old. Homebody he could maybe live with if. But he's not thinking about the if, because no matter how warm Jared's voice on the phone, or in his ear over his shoulder when he crushes him in another of his zero personal space hugs, it's not like that between them. So he's here, flipping burgers on Tommy's Grillmaster Triple X 50,000 supersonic whatever practically does it itself grill. What he's also not doing is watching Jared sprawl boneless on a lawn chair. He's not noticing the loose splay of his hips as one long leg tumbles off the side, or the spread of expressive fingers over his flat, hard-muscled abdomen. He's really not. Especially not when Mike hoses him down and the worn denim molds to thighs that he wants lifted over his shoulders. Or when Jared startles awake, flexing up with a quick snap, and his shaggy mop of hair falls in his unguarded hazel eyes. Mike's laughing, looking for support when Jared flips him the bird. Jensen shrugs, heart not really in it, or at least not in backing up Mike. Still, it's easy enough to grin at Jared with his face torn between indignation and laughter. "'S what you get, he drawls, trying real hard to ignore the soft thump of his heart at the way Jared's looking at him. Considering is all, trying to read Jensen's response. That's obviously it, since Jared shoots back, what, drowned, on his way over. Then Jared's behind him, talking a stream of Jared's sense, which is nonsense to anyone else, but Jensen finds it soothing somehow. He relaxes into a rhythm of shove and flip, and if the motions are a little suggestive, that can't be helped. It won't matter, since Jared's not watching his hands, not thinking about Jensen peeling him out of those wet blue jeans and warming his cock with his fist. The burgers and brats are just about done when Jared's lazy afternoon twang stops mid-sentence. "Hey, Jen, you're burning." A glance at the meat spread out on the black slats of the grill confirm it hasn't burned in the last 10 seconds, and then he shoots a mock glare at Jared over his shoulder. "Backseat driver." Jared grins that broadest Texas grin, and Jensen feels his eyes crinkle in response. "Not the chow, Jen. You. Your back is pink." No, he's not going to think about Jared's gaze kissing off his lats, or anything else of Jared's kissing his lats, at any time. But he can't help turning to face his friend. And even though it's completely against the rules, he meets Jared's cat-curious eyes for several seconds too long. He lets himself appreciate the dark lashes edging golden skin before saying, "Well, you're the girl. Don't you have sunscreen in your purse or some shit?" The thing is, Jared doesn't even blink at the way Jensen's gaze glides and lingers over his face. His kissable, fuckable mouth softens from a grin to the same easy smile he's had for Jensen for months now. "That your way of saying I'm your bitch, baby?" Jared's teasing. It doesn't matter that his mouth caresses that word, lips shaping it so perfectly Jensen can almost see the letters. He's just teasing, and Jensen has rules. 3. Don't breathe for his scent. Jared has this pillow, big overstuffed thing his sister gave him to help him sleep. He tells Jensen about it the day they go mattress shopping. He's not thinking, he's not, about why Jared wants him along, or why Jared seems to actually care whether he's comfortable on the mattress, because it's just Jared. Later that night, when Jensen's had a few too many to drive safely home, Jared tosses him the pillow along with a blanket his mom knitted, tells him to crash on the couch. The pillowcase smells like Jared, innocent vanilla and warm, sexy spice. It smells like Jared's house and those ridiculous cookie dough candles he burns all the damn time. Growling curses under his breath when Jared draws a sloppy, "Night, Jen." Jensen buries his face in the soft fluff down and tries not to think about Jared and his boxers, sprawled over the mattress he helped him pick out. He's drunk enough to crawl in with him, but Jared's scent in the pillow, wrapping around him the way that Jared won't, keeps him there on the couch. Eventually he sleeps and dreams, unsurprisingly, of Jared. It's a little more surprising that there's no sex in the dreams, just comfort and goodness, and Jared, his. If he thought he was fucked over Jared before, he knows he's toast when he wakes Sunday morning and doesn't give up the pillow during an afternoon of football and beer. By the time he leaves that night, it smells of him, too. After that, the pillow's sort of his by default. Whenever he's at Jared's, which is more often than it should be, the first thing he does is nick the damn thing off Jared's bed. It's kind of weird that Jared says he can't sleep with it, but it's always there and smelling like Jared. Except when it's already on the couch or in the recliner waiting for him. He wonders about that, too, but he figures Jared's mama taught him Texas hospitality. Or maybe Megan gets a charge out of knowing he uses it. She's like that, and Jared's shameless when it comes to making his sister smile. Whatever the reason, Jared doesn't seem to mind, so Jensen lets himself have this one small indulgence, lets himself breathe Jared since he doesn't have any rules against it. At least he doesn't have any rules until he's at the mall down at Granville, buying Christmas presents, early, thank you, and he catches himself standing in front of a Bath and Body Shop, eyes closed and just breathing. Wood bins outside the shop have candles on sale. Cinnamon spice, pumpkin pie, apple cheesecake, and cookie dough. They might as well just fucking rename that scent Jared, because it's hardwired into his brain that way. Jensen forces himself to walk away, but several times during his tour he finds some excuse to be nearby, and more than once he has his fist wrapped around a handful of cookie dough votives. That's when he decides he needs a rule. Don't collect shit that smells like Jared isn't good enough, and giving up the pillow will raise eyebrows. Besides, it's just not happening. He settles on Don't Breathe for his scent, figuring that gives him leeway. Breathing Jared's scent is all right, so long as that's not why he's breathing. So now he has a shiny new rule, but Jensen can't help feeling he's well and truly screwed. 4. Don't touch the way you want to. The feeling of being screwed settles into stay when he and Jared start playing to crowds and snapping flashbulbs. All over the damned internet there are pictures and icons and fucking stories about the two of them together. About he and Jared doing everything he never lets himself think about. It's against the rules. Hell, it's why he made them in the first place. Thing is, the rules aren't helping anymore. 100 different rules can't keep his dick from getting hard when he and Jared share the same space, which they do all the damn time as Dean and Sam. Or whenever Mr. I'm in your space breathing your air, Netspeak, courtesy of Padalecki and Murray, gamer geeks, decides to get all up in Jensen's shit. It's starting to be a real pain in the ass. Not to mention that if Jared hasn't noticed already, he will soon. And, with Jared at it all the goddamn time, it's getting fucking hard to tell himself it's in his head. So he settles for telling himself all Jared wants is to know what it's like to have Jensen's lips wrapped around his cock, nothing more. He's hardly the first to want it, and he won't be the last. Jensen wanting it too doesn't change a damn thing. If the rules can't keep him from reacting, they can at least stop him from going to his knees for Jared like a goddamned whore. But then they're faced off in Jared's living room after One Tree Hill, which Jared insists they watch every week. He is, without doubt, the best friend ever, because that thing just sucks, and Jensen tells him in explicit detail. Of course, Jared has to defend Chad's honor, and Jensen hears himself saying, "You gonna take me down?" before he can stop himself. Wrestling with Jared, in private, is against at least 10 separate rules, but Jared's grinning, and he's grinning, and fuck if his hand's not curling to say, "Come." Then it's too late to do anything but see it through, so he baits Jared. "Come on, Sammy, show your big brother what you got." The reaction he gets, the hot flush creeping over his face and throat, eyes going fuck me wide, isn't what he's expecting. A dark intensity he's seen from Sam, but never Jared, scrapes over every inch of Jensen's exposed skin. There's no mistaking the predatory intent in Jared's gaze when he rolls up his sleeves. The only question is whether he wants to fuck Jensen or beat the shit out of him. Jensen's leaning toward the latter, until Jared's tongue swipes over his lips, and Jensen has to blink to clear the afterimage of his cock between them. Then Jared's leaning in, telegraphing worse than Sam does when he drawls, Don't want to mess up your pretty face. Pretty. Bet you look good on your knees, pretty boy. There's just enough time for anger to flare before Jared's ape-long arm flashes out and glances off his middle. In no mood to dance, Jensen grunts, ducking the follow-up jab and slipping out behind him. He wraps an arm around Jared's shoulders, ready to pull him in and drive him down, but Jared stills, goes almost pliant, and it knocks the fight right out of Jensen. He's got almost 6.5 feet of Jared Padalecki, if not precisely where he wants him. Behind him, God, just the thought, the one he's not having, makes his skin go hot and tight. It's good enough for horseshoes and hand grenades, and there's no rule in the world that can keep him from dragging Jared's arm up and pressing in against his back. It doesn't matter how many times "don't touch the way you want to" spins through his overtaxed brain. There's just no stopping his lips from careening into Jared's ear, or his breath from purring over it when he murmurs the first thing that comes to mind. "Brains before beauty, eh?" Jared hisses, a breath, and licks at his mouth, and it's lights out for Jensen. Not even his hard-learned lessons about separating business and pleasure can help him now. If Jared wants him on his knees, then he'll be on his knees. He's fucked. The only consolation he can find is that Padalecki is fucked right along with him, but he'll be damned if he knows what to do about it. He has no rules for this. 5. Don't kiss your co-star. It's a simple enough rule, you'd think. Don't kiss your co-star. He's nowhere near drunk enough to have to repeat it to himself over and over while he's unlocking the door to his apartment to let them both in after a few beers and a game of darts his hand shook too much to win. Don't kiss your co-star, he tells himself again when the door clicks shut behind them. But how the fuck is he supposed to resist when Jared's eyes are dark and glazed and his lips part on a breathy, "Jen?" Then Jared saying, "I've been thinking about this for a while," in that earnest voice from 2 months ago Sunday, only this time it's tinged with hunger, and Jensen just fucking quits. Rules or no rules, he's tilting his head up to catch the full wide mouth he's been thinking about what seems like forever. It's softer than he imagined, and a lot more willing, when it meets, then covers, his. Warm and open, and it's not like some necessary preliminary to convincing Jensen to blow him. It's a kiss, the kind he hasn't shared with anyone since kissing was the reason you stayed out too late. Christ Jesus, he's kissing Jared. He's kissing Jared, God help him. But there's no help and no rules, nothing but the hoppy tang of beer and the salt from the ill-advised tequila shots that got them here, and the sweet wet heat of Jared's tongue gliding over his lips and asking him to open. Like somehow Jared hasn't realized that Jensen's wanted to taste his mouth all night. Like somehow Jared doesn't know he's been trying not to part his lips for Jared's cock in his head every time he's jerked off for the last 6 months at least. His hands fist in Jared's ever-present hoodie, and they back off a bit to breathe. Voice shot raw with months' worth of playing by the rules, he whispers, ragged, "Jared." And Jared is there. Long fingers, strong hands curve around his face. He'd protest if it didn't feel so damned good to have Jared touching him like this, wanting him like this. Easy, he lets Jared turn his head, probe deep with his tongue, claiming victory, a victory he's been only too willing to let Jared have since the beginning, if only he wouldn't toss him aside like yesterday's newspaper when he's through with Jensen and his cock-sucking mouth. He starts to drop, wets his lips pink and shiny to take that long, thick dick burning a line into his belly. But then Jared's hand is in his hair, tugging his head back, not shoving him down, not making him wince, for soft teeth, wet tongue to scrape his stubbled jaw. Rough, aching tenderness, and Jensen's breath catches, heart pounds while he tries to clear his head. It's not working. He wants this too much. Hands wrecking up the hem of Jared's shirt, skimming the golden skin he wants to taste, Jensen moans, wanton, and Jared swallows it, presses him back against the wall. Jensen's hard, so hard, against the thigh between his, and for an instant he panics. What if... But he can't even finish the thought, because when he grips Jared's hips, Jared slides forward again, and the friction's so sweet, so needed, his knees buckle like a goddamn girl's. He's trying so hard to play it cool, like it's no big thing that Jared's tongue is taking his mouth like it belongs there, like Jared's hand in his hair saying, "I want this, I want you," isn't the best thing that's happened to Jensen Ross Ackles in at least 14 years. But when his eyes open on a shuddery sigh, Jared's looking down at him, brown gold eyes reflecting his hopes, fears, relief. "Jesus, please," he murmurs, or maybe it's Jared. It doesn't matter which one of them says it. He's thinking it. It doesn't matter that begging to be fucked breaks rule number one. The only rule that matters now is this. If you're going to fuck your co-star, make sure it's everything you never dared to dream. It's all right, Jensen tells himself, when he wakes to the sound of humming and percolating coffee, and is treated minutes later to the sight of miles of trim and toned Jared Padalecki, bare-ass naked, holding out a cup of coffee that smells like heaven, and his lips still taste like Jared's kisses. Jensen's dick is hard again, and all he can think is do unto others. Well, that and goddamn. Yes, Virginia, there really is a Santa Claus. Jared's smiling that lazy Texas smile and folding one knee to sit beside him on the bed. Nothing shy, nothing awkward, nothing cruel. He's as easy as any day in the makeup trailer, but his eyes are soft, liquid, like ladies in the spaghetti scene in Lady and the Tramp. Yes, he owns it. No, Mike and Tommy don't know. But Jared will almost certainly tell them now, and he really doesn't care. Jensen's heart is beating hard. He can't quite breathe. But he wraps his hand around the coffee Jared offers with a quiet, quieter than he's ever heard Jared be, in fact, hey, that Jensen's pretty sure means, I think I'm falling in love with you, and says, coming back to bed, Jay? Which definitely means, yeah, me too. Yeah, he's well and truly fucked over Jared Padalecki, flying without Annette. But it's all right. He doesn't need rules for this. Jared is a rule all to himself.